Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. It's good to be back with you this week.
Yeah, wow. It's, a whole week's gone by.
It seems like we were just here.
Yeah, and wow, the time goes by so fast, and the shows go by so fast.
It does. Time does not stand still.
Boy, that's for sure. And we were, last week, if you were with us, and I'm sure you all were, both of you, we were,
both of you.
We did a...
Are you speaking about our wives?
Yeah.
Faithful listeners to this show.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
Thanks, dear.
See, the Lord likes us to be joyful, so we can laugh, and it's nice.
Amen.
And last week we did a show about the early Christian community, the early church, the early group of Messianic believers.
Yes.
And, you know, talked about how they lived in community and how they listened to the teachings of the apostles and how the Spirit was moving and people were being added every day and mm-hmm. how they were worshiping every day at the temple and they were singing and praying and breaking bread. And whew, I got all excited. I wanted to go to a church like that.
Yeah.
And many of you have heard the term, you know, I want to go to an Acts chapter 2 church. And I think about that a lot. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Oh.
Instead of going around taking people's pulses to make sure they're still alive. I didn't really say that.
Oh,
strike
my.
That from the record.
it's already recorded. You can't.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so now today we're going to move into kind of an exciting thing where it's a combination of a miraculous miracle. Oh, that's redundant. A miraculous sign. A amazing show of power where a man is healed, and then Peter and John use that to preach Jesus. And it's kind of interesting if you look, and I don't think we mentioned it last week, but if you look in these chapters of Acts, and even when the Holy Spirit falls Pentecost morning, they went out and started preaching about Jesus. They didn't go out and start preaching about the Holy Spirit. They went out and started preaching about Jesus.
Right.
And Peter took these opportunities with these home groups and home churches and the people he was with at the temple praying to teach about Jesus and to preach about Jesus.
Right.
And we're going to see that happen again here, where we're going to talk about Acts chapter 3. We're kind of going in order for a while, then I'm sure we'll change our mind and do something else. But the first few chapters of Acts are pretty awesome. And this is the healing of the lame man, the paralytic man at the Gate Beautiful, and I'm sure you're all familiar with that. But we're going to have Stephen read that whole account, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Maybe why don't you start by reading like the first 10 verses or so that's the actual miracle, then we'll do the rest of it in a little bit.
Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leapt up, stood, and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who was used to sit begging. Or as the one who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him.
Ooh, let's stop there for a minute. That's pretty cool.
That is.
I want to be in an Acts chapter 2 and 3 church. They got to do all this cool stuff.
All the cool stuff.
Yeah, so, boy, here's this is a great story. You know, we've heard this a lot. You know, you read about this, you hear about this, and, you know, we always talk about how the signs and wonders confirm the teaching. Signs and wonders confirm that what that person is saying mm-hmm. is true.
Right.
And Jesus did it, and he told his disciples that they would do it. And so they did it, and they taught, and they healed, and they did miraculous things. And people paid attention to this, because when you see a miracle like this happen, which we're going to talk about in a minute, it really gets your attention.
Yeah.
Just like when Jesus said to the paralytic guy, your sins are forgiven. And all those Pharisees and all those smart Alex are saying, what? You can't. Who does this guy think he is? Then he says, get up and walk.
Yeah.
Just to show you that I have the authority to forgive sin. Yeah. Get up and walk.
Yeah.
And then they said, ooh, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Because that really gets their attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, this the gate beautiful, you know, nobody really knows exactly where that was, but mm-hmm. it was the entrance to the main part of the temple, probably. And the fact that it was called beautiful, it must have been amazing.
Right.
Amazing yeah. workmanship and so forth. And this is where this guy sat and begged.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we talked about how they worshiped in the temple every day.
Right.
So here's Peter and John. And it's interesting that Peter and John are kind of, you know, always together now.
Yeah.
You know, Peter was the oldest one, probably. John was definitely the youngest one.
Right.
They ran to the tomb together. You know, they were together all the time. They preached together, taught together. When Jesus told Peter that, you know, about feeding the lambs and you're going to go do all this stuff, he said, well, what about him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, pointing to John.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, that's none of your business. But, you know, they kind of had this relationship.
Yeah.
They were together all the time. And it's interesting that they were going up to the temple,
right.
the two of them. Because mm-hmm. it was time for prayer.
Right.
3 o'clock, you know, the ninth hour, because they were always there praying and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they were used to doing.
Right.
And, you know, we get all the information, you know, we get all these interesting things in this account, including, you know, they're going to the temple because it's time to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to use that opportunity to teach. And the other thing interesting about Peter and John was they each had a brother who was also an apostle.
Right.
Andrew and James.
Right.
And I mean, it's kind of cool. They each had a brother who was an apostle. Not that many people were apostles, but they each had a brother who was one.
Left 12. Yeah, there's only 12.
Yeah. And it seems like after the resurrection, you know, they were kind of always hanging out together.
Yeah. Yeah, for the most part. You know, as you're talking, what happens here is, when Jesus tells them in Mark 16, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons.
Mm-hmm.
They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover in my name, in Jesus'
yeah.
name.
Amen.
And what does Peter say?
Mm-hmm.
That I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do give you in the name of Jesus, the Nazarene, walk.
Mm.
And he uses the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's where the power is at.
Yes.
It's not by their own power.
Right, 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 right.
It's by the power of the risen Christ that they are able to do these things.
Yes.
And everyone's astonished and amazed that this man who was sitting there moments ago crippled
mm-hmm.
is now walking on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Without a walker, without crutches,
yeah.
without
yeah.
you know, without any of those things.
He's not only walking, he's dancing,
he's
praising.
Dancing, jumping around, yeah, he's praising God. And so these are the signs and the wonders that would take place
mm-hmm.
as the apostles proclaimed the name of Jesus.
Yes. And the interesting thing about this is a lot of times you hear people say, oh, I'm going to go see so-and-so because he's got a healing ministry. He has a healing anointing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have to keep in mind that he's not the one with the healing anointing.
Right.
When you pray over somebody and a healing takes place, you don't say, hey, that was pretty good what I did, huh?
Yeah.
Because they knew, these apostles knew that it was in the name of Jesus that this man was healed.
Yeah. You know, I was at a small home group a couple weeks ago, and there was a lady there that she said her hip was bothering her, and we prayed for her. And I saw these, the Lord gave me a vision of these two like strings tangled together. Mm. And I saw this finger come down, take the strings apart and place and go right over the string, you know, like these two lines and straighten them out.
Wow.
And her sciatic nerve was healed.
Wow.
That was awesome. You know, but it's not by any power that we have, but it's by the power of Christ.
You didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that.
So if people walk around and say, Steve healed this woman.
No, the Lord healed her.
Exactly.
But it's those types of signs and wonders
that
just deepen our faith.
That's right.
You know, that God's there to walk with us and take care of all of our needs.
Amen. And Luke, you know, the writer of Acts, he gives us some really great details because it says this guy was lame from birth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't walking around till 2 days ago, then he fell and broke his leg.
Right.
I mean, this guy was lame from birth.
Yeah.
And so he was clearly lame. And there was no question about it
that
he was lame. I mean, these things, when you have a miracle that can be documented, that's really powerful compared to something that you hear from somebody that somebody had something. This was a guy who everyone saw there every day. He was carried there and they plopped him down by the gate and he sat there all day begging.
Yeah.
And so everybody knew who this guy was, and everyone knew that this man could not walk.
Right.
And so when they see him leaping and dancing, they know something's happened to this guy. Because he he not only walks, I mean, he not only couldn't leap and dance, he couldn't even walk. He was crippled.
Right.
From his mother's womb.
Yeah.
So he was born crippled. So he probably had spina bifida or some cerebral palsy or something.
Mm-hmm.
So his legs wouldn't hold him up. And so there was no question about this. Everyone knew who he was because every day lots and lots of people walked by this gate.
Right.
Because this was one of the ways into the temple. And of course, it was a great place to beg because you're someplace with, number one, a lot of traffic.
The entrance way, yeah.
Yeah. And number two is people are going in to pray. Mm-hmm. So they're more likely to help a lame guy when you're going in to pray than if he was, you know, down by the Denny's or the Starbucks or somewhere because they're going to church basically and they see this poor guy and say, oh, this poor guy, and they give him a shekel.
They probably have some alms with them to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's in a great location. And, you know, in those days, of course, if you were poor, if you were sick, if you were a widow, I mean, you know, when you study Torah, there are all these provisions you read about for widows and poor people.
Right.
Because that was God's social plan, you know, social, what do you call it?
Social justice plan?
Yeah. You know, kind of like the safety net.
Yeah.
Where there was to make sure that nobody starved and people were dependent on other people's charity.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the farmer didn't harvest the corners of the field or people walked by and gave the guy a shekel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he then got enough shekels where he could buy himself something to eat.
Yeah.
And, you know, the poor and the sick and the widows, especially, because, you know, women just didn't, if their husband died and they had a couple of kids, they didn't just leave the house and go get a job at Macy's or, you know, be a waitress somewhere.
Right.
They were pretty much in big trouble if their husband died.
Yeah.
And that's why when you read through the Old Testament, you always see all this stuff about widows and orphans.
Mm-hmm.
And to us, that you say, well, what's the big deal about widows and orphans? You know, we got widows and orphans.
But they lost their status in society.
Yes, absolutely.
And they were destitute.
And so you can imagine if you were a, you know, 25, 28 year old woman with two little kids and your husband died,
you had
a rough life ahead of you.
Yeah, bad situation.
And so this man, you know, he can't get welfare. He can't get food stamps. He can't have medical insurance. He just has to sit there and beg. And hope that people throw him some shekels.
Yeah, they didn't have those programs back then. Yeah, and you know, it's from the generosity of one's own heart that they give.
Yes.
And that's why when Jesus talked about the lady that threw in the two coins, she gave all that she had.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't out of her reserve, it was from what she actually had.
That's right. It's like if Donald Trump came to your church and he put $5 in the collection basket, everybody would say, that's nothing. But if some poor lady who was, you know, living out in the street came in and put 50 cents in.
I hope he's not listening.
No. Hi, Donald. Jesus loves you, Donald. But I don't think he listens to our show.
You never know.
But if a poor street person came into the church and put 50 cents in the collection, that means more, a lot more than Donald Trump's $5. Not to pick on Donald.
Oh, my. Well, yeah, if that's all the person had in their pocket was 50 cents, they gave everything they
had. Right. That's right.
And in the eyes of God, that is a generous giver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's this interesting interaction because, you know, he looks at them. I mean, they kind of stop and look at him. He looks at them and says, oh, boy, these two guys are going to give me some money. Uh-huh. And, you know, they kind of fix their eyes on each other. This is kind of neat. And the Greek word that's used there is the same word that's used in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus preaches in the synagogue at Nazareth where, you know, he reads the scroll from Isaiah and then he gives it back to the attendant and he said, you know, and then it says everyone's eyes were fixed on him to see what he was going to say. The same word for fixed. Right. And that's also used in Luke's gospel the night of, well, what probably was early morning Good Friday, mm-hmm. where the servant girl sees Peter and says, hey, you were with him too.
Right.
The same words used where she fixes her eyes on him and says, wait a minute, I saw you there too, mm-hmm. where he denies him. And the same word is also used at the time of the ascension that we talked about a few weeks ago when they were like looking up into the clouds going like, whoa, where did he go? You know, they were fixed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this like intense look that the lame guy and Peter and John, they're kind of exchanging these really fixed looks.
Yeah.
And Paul uses this word too in 2 Corinthians where he talks about when Moses comes down from the mountain and he's kind of glowing and people fix their eyes on him and go, whoa, dude, you're glowing. It's that same kind of like fixing where you see something so amazing that you just keep looking at it.
Right.
Because normally your faces don't glow.
Almost your eyes are locked together on
exactly.
each other.
Exactly. Exactly. And so this is a very, you know, and obviously this is a, you know, a Holy Spirit kind of a thing.
Right.
And, you know, their eyes are fixed together. And Peter and John have, you know, no money on them, or maybe they have, you know, a couple of gift cards from Starbucks and a few shekels so they can eat at Denny's. But, I mean, they don't have a lot of money that they're going to be able to give this guy.
Wouldn't they be going to Reuben's?
They'd be going to Reuben's, that's right. But they may not have any money, but, boy, they've got powerful spiritual gifts. Ooh.
Ooh.
This is a good song.
Yes, it is.
This is a spiritual gift, too. Anyway, remember, giftofgraceministries.org, and look for us on Facebook. We'll be back in just a minute or two.
Adonai, Elohi Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Baruch Adonai, Elohi Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. In ha'olam, but ha'olam, praise his name forever and again. In ha'olam, but ha'olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Israel will say amen. So let the name.
Israel will say amen, and Israel will say. In our camp, it's the sound of victory. For the power of his voice will rout the enemy. There's no weapon that can defeat us here. We will triumph on every side, more than conquerors through the might of Adonai. For the walls we stand before us, and my sin on every side, they come crashing down when they hear the sound of the name above all others, Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you for your the mighty God, Jehovah Nissi. Raise your banner higher, the rock of our salvation, the Messiah, our righteousness.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Steve and I are here today talking about the healing of the paralyzed man in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John were going up to the temple. And we left off before the break about Peter and John didn't have any silver or gold. They didn't have a lot of wealth. They weren't really into like the prosperity gospel thing. They didn't really have a lot of money.
No, they were pretty broke.
Yeah, but they had powerful spiritual gifts.
just a bit.
So this guy who's paralyzed and sitting there begging, you know, he asks them, you know, he thinks they're going to give him some money. And boy, you know, he may be asking for money, but boy, he gets a whole lot more out of this.
He hit the jackpot here.
The last thing he thought was going to happen that day was that he was going to be dancing around and leaping around and, you know, doing praise and worship. And
yeah, because this is, like you were saying, this is somebody who was crippled from birth, just like the man who was born blind from birth.
Exactly.
Never saw, this man never walked.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's pretty cool because, you know, you can see physical healings, and you can see physical healings plus spiritual healings or just spiritual healings. And this guy's going to really get both. And, you know, spiritual healing, of course, is more important.
Yes.
But the physical healing is really great too.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about the name, this is really cool because Peter, the way he goes about this, he doesn't just say, okay, be healed. Or he doesn't say, let me lay hands on you and say a prayer. Or he doesn't say to John, hey, did you bring that prayer book that has the healing prayers in it? He says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
Because that's where the power's at.
That's where the power's at. Stand up and walk. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool because it's in his name. And as you pointed out before, Jesus himself said, in my name, you're going to do all these things.
Right.
There's power in that name.
Yeah. And there's power in that name, and there's the authority in that name.
Yeah, amen.
Because he has conquered sin and death.
Yeah.
By his own death and resurrection.
Yeah. And he just doesn't say Jesus. He just doesn't say Yeshua. He says Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Nazarene. So this guy and the people, and there would have been people, this was a busy place.
Yeah.
Plus people are going for the 3 o'clock prayers. You know, in the temple, you had a 9 a.m. service and a 3 p.m. service.
Right.
Basically. So there are going to be hundreds and thousands of people walking by this area.
Right.
So here's this guy. We don't even know his name. They see him there every day begging, can't walk. Then they see Peter and John stop there. Now, as people are walking by and they hear Peter say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, you know, stand up.
Mm-hmm.
People stop and go, what? Jesus of Nazareth? Wasn't that guy that they killed a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
And he uses that name because that's the name he was known by. And that's the name that everybody there would have known who he was talking about. Not just the paralyzed guy, but the passersby too.
Right.
And they would have said, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, that was that guy, you know, who was the troublemaker. That was the guy that they killed.
Exactly.
And now what's this guy talking about?
Yeah.
So, you know, it impacts people that are walking by. And it connects to, when you use the term Jesus of Nazareth, it connects the earthly Jesus with the divine Jesus, second person of the Trinity.
Right.
Which, you know, makes it that name, and you talk about, you know, the name has so much power.
Mm-hmm.
When you call him Jesus of Nazareth, which was how he was known, you connect both his human nature and his divine nature.
Right.
And everybody there knew who he was talking about.
Exactly.
And he says the name before he says stand up and walk.
Yep.
He doesn't say stand up and walk, and the guy gets up and says, oh, by the way, Jesus cured you.
You know, sometimes I'll hear people pray, and I don't want to be judgmental here, but sometimes I'll hear people say, in your name. They'll pray, and they go, in your name.
Yeah.
Then your name has no power.
Yes.
The name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua, has power.
Yeah, that's a
good devil's
point.
Really not afraid of your name.
That's right.
He can care less about your name. But if you say the name of Jesus.
Oof. Even the devil cowers at that.
Yes, because Jesus has authority over the devil.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's a good point, an excellent point. You hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we know that they're talking to Jesus, but.
Yeah, we know they're talking to Jesus, but you got to proclaim the name.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be silent of the name. Proclaim the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
There's great power in it.
Oh, yeah. So Peter does that, says, get up and walk. So everybody sees him get up, and they say, whoa, this guy got up.
Mm-hmm.
This Peter, or whoever he is, this fisherman, smelly fisherman, says something about the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and then tells the guy to do something that he's incapable of doing.
And has never done, right?
Right. Anybody could have walked by all those years and said to this guy, hey, stand up. And he would have said, what are you trying to, why are you being so cruel? I can't stand up. But now Peter says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. So he gets up. So in the name of Jesus, Peter commands him to do what he can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he even reaches out to help pick him up.
Yeah.
So that shows like Peter knows he's going to get up.
Yeah.
He doesn't just say, oh, here, let's pull you up and see if you can stand. He goes, go on.
Oh, gosh, I hope the Lord's going to heal you.
Yeah. And, you know, the guy's completely healed. Says his legs and his ankles are strengthened, and he's leaping and walking and praising.
Yeah.
So he's even praising.
I mean, if you just think of it from a physical standpoint, that this is somebody who's never used their legs to walk.
Yes, their whole life.
How there would, you know, what would the structure of their legs be like?
Yes.
Muscular?
Oh,
joint-wise?
Withered up muscles?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Just from a medical or physical standpoint.
That's right.
It would have been impossible for him to stand up on his own strength.
That's right. So he had a miraculous physical healing
and
apparently a spiritual healing too.
Yes.
Because he's praising and dancing around, and he thought he was at a charismatic prayer meeting because he's leaping around praising, and, you know, Pharisees didn't tend to do that.
No.
They didn't do a lot of leaping.
No, they're probably wondering what's going on back there.
Yeah. So this guy.
It's all a ruckus.
And we don't even know his name. So he's thankful. And now, you know, it doesn't say what he's thinking, but he's got to be thinking that he knows where this healing came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was just sitting there paralyzed, and all of a sudden this guy stops and says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up. And all of a sudden, I could stand up.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be so much power in this name. This is where the healing came from. Now, you notice the other thing that happens here is the guy doesn't stand up and say, okay, you guys, thanks a lot. Thanks, Peter, for doing that. And John, thanks a lot. Good to see you guys. I'm glad you came by today. Thanks for healing me, and I hope to see you again soon. He doesn't do any of that.
Uh-uh.
He jumps up, and he's running around praising, leaping, singing, and he doesn't even really talk to them anymore. He's just kind of like, he goes up to the temple with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool that he knows exactly where the healing came from. So he's praising, and he's giving God the glory. And we know that because he's praising God. He's not praising Peter and John.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, and he's clinging to Peter and John.
Yeah.
As they go into the temple, and, you know, he's praising them. He's dancing around, but then he's clinging to Peter and John.
I want to go with you guys.
And then this the crowd, the people, they hurry in amazement toward them in the portico.
Yeah.
Portico.
Yeah.
And then Peter starts another great sermon.
Wait, before we get into that, you know, and it's cool, but what just kind of hit me about that too is when they were walking with Jesus and Jesus would stop and talk to somebody, like whether it was the blind man or a lame guy or
the woman at the well.
Yeah, woman at the well, or well, she wasn't really sick.
Did we
sick.
Do a show about the woman at the well?
No, they were at the deli. They didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, they went to get sandwiches. That's right. Sandwiches. Go ahead.
They didn't even want to eat Samaritan sandwiches. Corky and Lenny's doesn't even have Samaritan food. Oh, that's a free plug for Corky and Lenny's.
Oh,
that's okay. Anyway, but when Jesus stopped and talked to somebody and then healed them, you know, Peter and John and those other guys, they just kind of stood there going, whoa, that's awesome what he did. Now they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Without Jesus being there.
Right.
Without Jesus walking around physically. And Jesus had walked by the Gate Beautiful probably many, many, many times while he was in Jerusalem and at the Temple Mount.
Because he went to the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now these two guys, without Jesus being physically walking with them, did the same thing that Jesus did.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We can do the same things that Jesus did. And he even said, and we can do more.
Right. You're going to do even greater things than I've done.
Yes. Even us, even little old us. And so I don't know, you know, Peter and John were so spirit filled that they probably just figured, okay, we're going to just heal this guy or we'll see what happens if we pray with this guy. But I don't know if they even stopped to think, wow, we just healed a guy just like Jesus would have healed a guy.
Yeah.
You know, things had changed so much for them. And we know that there were a lot of people walking by because everyone marveled at this.
Yeah.
There were a lot of witnesses. It was a busy place. There weren't just believers in Yeshua, Jesus walking around. This was the temple.
Right.
Everybody was around. So there were a lot of witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said before, everybody knew this man and what his problems were.
You know, as you're saying, and as you're mentioning, the temple was the center point of Jewish life.
Yes.
I mean, they came to the temple, what, three times a day to pray. So it was a busy place.
Mm-hmm.
And this was where people gathered.
Yes.
Exactly. All the time.
Exactly.
And it wasn't just a place they went to on the Sabbath.
Right.
Like we go to church just on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They came there every day and prayed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much different perspective that we need to have in understanding this than our culture of today.
Yeah. And you can imagine your reaction if you walked by this guy begging every day or every few days, and then you walked by and you saw this guy dancing around and praising and running up and down the stairs, you'd say like, whoa, what happened to him?
Yeah.
I mean, is that the same guy?
Yeah.
Just like the blind guy. Is that the same guy?
Yeah.
Because they saw that this guy had somehow been totally changed, not just physically, but now he's spiritually changed also.
Yes.
Which was something they weren't used to.
Right.
Go ahead.
That's one thing that, you know, as you said, the spiritual healing is so much more important. And that's when you receive that spiritual healing, it is so much, you know, not that the physical healing isn't important,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but when you receive that physical or the spiritual healing, you become one with the Messiah.
Yes.
And that's what's so important, that our hearts are transformed into being of one heart, one mind, and just being in one accord with God's will with the Messiah.
Yeah. Amen. And we tend to think about physical healings a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've seen healings.
Yeah.
Very personal healings.
Right.
I've seen healings, very personal healings. And then you've also seen people that have been prayed over and prayed with and nothing changes in their physical state,
mm-hmm,
but they're spiritually healed.
Yeah. I mean, you see somebody healed of anxiety or fear.
Yeah.
And they're transformed into a new person. That's just, I mean, because they're really like in a, almost in their own prison.
Yes, exactly.
And when you set them free in the name of Jesus, it's so liberating to them.
Yes. I always think about a scene from a movie you might have seen called The Robe.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Burton, and you know, it's kind of like from the early 50s.
Yeah.
And they're telling he's a Roman official.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets Peter and some of the other disciples, and then he becomes a believer. But before he becomes a believer, they're telling him about the miracles Jesus did and how he cured this kid and he cured this guy. And then there's a crippled woman there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's happy and she's singing, and she says to him, "Oh, you know, Jesus prayed over me." And he goes, "Yeah, but you weren't healed. You're still crippled." And she goes, "Yeah, I'm still crippled, but you know, I'm happy and I'm praising him and I'm singing." And because she's spiritually healed, even though she still can't walk.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately the more important.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, we like to see the amazing miracle of stand up and walk.
Yeah.
But somebody whose heart is transformed, whose spirit is transformed, who used to be afraid of everything or bitter or angry, and now they're not,
mm-hmm.
that's a miracle in itself.
Yeah, because the love of Christ transforms the heart and the mind. Yeah.
That's right. That doesn't get as much publicity as a physical healing.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So they saw a total transformation of this guy. I think that's really neat.
It is.
I think it's cool that it says he's leaping and praising it.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's the beginning of the church, of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they're just on fire for the proclaiming the gospel.
Yeah.
For proclaiming the name of Jesus.
Yeah. And then along with the man who's leaping around, these other witnesses, these other people going by saw this happen. It wasn't just, you know, a group of Christians standing around, as we would say, like, "Oh, yeah, you know, I went to this church where Pastor so-and-so has a healing ministry, mm-hmm. and I got healed there." This was a bunch of non-believers seeing this.
Right.
And it's, you know, everyone marveled, and then what do? They go to Solomon's portico with Peter and John, because they say, "Hey, let's go see what these guys are going to do. These guys are pretty impressive." And they sit there and they preach in Solomon's portico.
Yeah.
They teach. I mean, this is on the temple grounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know exactly where Solomon's portico was, and I don't know if the Pharisees came around and said, "You guys, get out of here." But they were right on the grounds of the temple preaching, and these people who had seen this awesome miracle, plus the guy himself, went to hear him teach because they wanted to know more about this. They wanted to hear these two apostles teaching. They wanted to know more about this Jesus, Yeshua, who some of them had seen. Some of them had actually heard him.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them had actually, you know, maybe followed him for a while.
Right.
Some of them may have been in the crowd saying, "Crucify him."
Mm-hmm.
Now they say to Peter and John, "Tell us more about him."
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, what you're describing is what's really talked about here in the scriptures. And it says, when Peter saw this, meaning that he saw the amazement and this crowd rush towards them as this man clung to Peter and John. And Peter says, "You Israelites, why are you amazed at this? And why do you look so intently at us as if we had made him walk by our own piety?
Yeah.
The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you.
Yeah.
The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead, and this we are our witnesses. And by faith in his name, this man whom you see and know, his name has made strong, and the faith that comes through it has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you."
Oof.
Wow.
That's awesome. So you think, see what's happening there. And I mean, this is a great passage.
Wow. Talk about right to the point.
Yeah. I mean, this is an amazing thing because Peter says, "Hey, don't marvel at us. Mm-hmm. Hey, don't think we did this."
Yeah.
And you know, like we always say, it's not about us. Peter says, "Hey, it's not about us."
Yeah.
Because they take this opportunity to preach Jesus, because the people now have seen this miracle. And so now they're receptive.
Yeah.
Now they're willing to hear what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes this opportunity to talk about Jesus. And, you know, we have to take every opportunity to preach the gospel, whether we see a miracle or not.
Yes.
Peter addresses. Peter doesn't say, "Hey, we did a pretty good job on this, didn't we?" Because he says, hey,
yeah,
we didn't do this.
Right.
It's not about us.
Yeah.
I hear Paul Wilbur again.
Is he here?
Oh, no, it's the second break already.
Oh, boy.
This is giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Christ, for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. This place, be enthroned upon our praises. May our worship rise like incense as we magnify the Son. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Even so, for Jesus come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. We join our hearts together. We come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so. Even so.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're in the last segment of the show.
Again.
And we got a paralyzed guy healed, and he's dancing and leaping and praising and
clinging to Peter and John.
Trying to decide which home group he's going to go to. And he's hanging on to these guys, and they go to Solomon's portico, and Peter preaches Jesus. And this is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping in mind that he's preaching to people in the temple, he says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, this is how God always identifies himself in the Torah. You know, if you took my Torah course, but you know, in different places where God speaks to someone, he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
So when you say to a group of Jews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they go bing. They know what. They're like focused in on what you're saying now.
Yes.
Because this is how God identifies himself.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand this. And, you know, they know about the promises to Abraham.
Yes.
They know about the last promise was all the communities of the earth would be blessed through him.
Right.
And Peter says, okay, you know that promise. This is what it's all about. Jesus, what it was all about. And you guys, I mean, he's very blunt. You know, he's not politically correct. He's not worried about his tax-exempt status.
Mm-hmm.
He's not worried about what the government's going to do. He says, you guys denied the Holy One of God.
Yeah.
I mean, he did this on Pentecost morning, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if, you know, he'd be in big trouble nowadays. He says, you guys, you denied the Holy One of God. Pilate was going to let him go.
Right.
He says, I don't see anything wrong he did. But you guys wanted a murderer released, and you wanted him to be killed.
Yeah.
So you let a murderer go free, and you killed the Prince of Life. And we're witnesses of this. And can you imagine what was good, the hush that falls over the crowd?
Yeah.
He was the Messiah. You guys killed him because you wanted a murderer instead of him. And by his name, here we go back to the name. Names are very important to the Jews, to Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Hashem, the name. And by his name, this man was cured. And everybody says, whoa.
Yeah.
This was powerful preaching with no punches pulled.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, it's hard to, you know, what more could you say about it? It's like he has proclaimed the name of Jesus in such a powerful way.
Yeah.
And his word of truth that he is being imparted by the Holy Spirit to speak.
Yeah.
Is the word of God.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's a two-edged sword and it cuts through bone and marrow and it just cuts through their heart. And he is telling them exactly what is the truth.
Yep.
You guys asked for a murderer to be released to you, and you denied the holy and righteous one, whom God chose.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah, and just like on Pentecost morning, they're cut to the heart.
And he says, I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that that his Messiah would suffer. And here is the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away, and that the Lord may grant you times of refreshment, and send you the Messiah already appointed to you, Yeshua, whom heaven must receive until the times of universal restoration, of which God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is how he preaches Jesus. He condemns them for what they've done. But then he says, but you can be forgiven, but you can still be saved. I mean, this is the message. This is the good news.
Right.
You guys killed him, but he can save you.
Yeah.
Radical.
Mm-hmm.
This is radical stuff. Yeah. This is the covenant of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You guys killed him. You wanted a murderer, but you were ignorant.
Yeah.
Your leaders were ignorant. You were ignorant. This is what the prophets talked about, and you guys missed it.
Exactly.
And you guys missed it.
Yeah.
And he even ties in Moses. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses says, God's going to raise up a prophet like me, and you're going to hear him in all things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Jesus. This is Yeshua. You guys missed it.
Yeah.
You know, he's the greatest of the messengers. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about how God spoke through prophets and but now he spoke to us through his son.
Yeah.
So this is what you've got to hear. And you can turn away from this and you can be forgiven. You can be given mercy.
Yeah. And he, you know, Peter quotes what Moses said. Like you just said, a prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kinsmen. To him you shall listen in all that he may say to you.
Mm.
Everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be cut off from the people.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the message.
Yeah, and that's Moses' words.
That's right.
And Peter's quoting Moses.
Exactly. Exactly. And he's telling them that everything in the Torah, everything in the prophets led up to Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys missed it. You should have gotten it, but you missed it. But now you can still be forgiven. Mm-hmm. All these things were predicted. All these things were prophesied. But you can still be given mercy because they're in Jerusalem. He's preaching to a group of Jews. The gospel was for them first. They were children of Abraham. They were you know, children of prophets. They were children of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had told them, you got to preach to the Jews first.
Right.
You don't even go to Samaria.
Yeah.
You don't go over there. You know, don't go talk to Gentiles. You got to preach. Then when they got the Great Commission, he says, you're going to go preach to everybody, but you're going to start in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So here they are, not only in Jerusalem, but in the Holy Temple, in the middle of the mountain that's God's holiest place, preaching to the children of Abraham that the prophets said this Messiah was coming. He came. You killed him. Now he's healed this man. You guys can still be forgiven if you turn to him now, because if you don't turn to him, you're going to be lost.
Right.
And as Peter said, there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved.
Yeah.
There's no other way you're going to be saved. Good luck with your 613 laws. If you don't turn to Yeshua, you're not going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So repent so that you can get this time of refreshing.
Yeah. I mean, and after he quotes Moses, he even goes, he says, moreover, all the prophets who spoke from Samuel and those afterwards also announced these days. So not only does he quote what Moses said in the Torah, but then he goes to the other prophets whom everyone would have been familiar with.
Right.
So he's, you know, God's given him the grace to speak this message of salvation from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to Moses, and then all the prophets afterwards of Samuel, that they would come to believe and repent.
Amen.
And come and turn to the Lord.
Man, this guy got to be quite a preacher.
It's too bad they didn't get this on an MP3 file.
Man, that'd have been awesome.
That would have been really good.
Yeah, and it just, we can't overemphasize the empowerment that Peter has after the Holy Spirit falls on him.
It's just incredible.
It's amazing. And this is, and when you see these words, I mean, these are not words that an uneducated person speaks.
Right.
I mean, this is very powerful, very well connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you're a listener there, even if you're one of these educated guys, you would hear this and say, whoa.
Yeah.
We wanted the Messiah killed after we waited all this time.
Yeah.
Whoa. The end of the show.
And now we have the gift of repentance.
Exactly.
And reconciliation.
And times of refreshing.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. Well,
Paul's
the
back.
End of another show. Whew. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the Holy Spirit would fill your hearts and just continue to proclaim the name of Yeshua, Jesus our Messiah. Have an awesome week, everyone. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.